This evening we'll speak on the final two prayers of Queen Kunti. Okay? Now, you'll have to tell me if we covered this or not. Lights down. Light. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. You are leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us? How can you leave us? After glorifying Lord Krishna for being unperceivable to anyone other than his devotees, for adventing himself in this world, and for enacting wonderful human-like pastimes, Kunti Devi now expresses her deepest fear. The Lord, after guiding the Pandavas through innumerable difficulties, will soon depart. Srimati Kunti Devi felt impending separation from Sri Krishna to be like a thunderbolt. Now, did we cover this? No. Okay. I went back four verses, not just two. This prayer of the queen is to try to persuade him to stay with them. In fact, the whole summary is her appreciation and glorification. In the case of transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him, Prabhupada's explanation in the purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, whenever you see this VCT, that's his rendering. O Lord, do you, whose deeds are automatically accomplished, desire to reject us today? Though we are your friends and depend on you, we, having created trouble with many kings, have no other shelter than your lotus feet. Commentary. We, and not others, become happy on seeing you, and suffer on not seeing you. The time of happiness has passed, and the time of suffering has arrived. Do you desire to leave us today, since you desire to go to Dwaraka? Krishna's reply, but I've stayed many days. Now I must go to Dwaraka. I have necessary work there. Please, give your consent. To this, Kunti answers, but you are the person whose necessary words are already accomplished by my sons, who served as your instruments. The Pandavas created suffering for many kings by killing their fathers or relatives. We depend on you. Anujivitaha. Therefore, please stay here. and protect my sons. There's a similar, or not similar, but related little episode in the pastime of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur? Anybody here not know who is Haridas Thakur? Haridas Thakur? You've heard Haridas Thakur? You've heard. He was elder to Lord Chaitanya, and like his father of age, and he, Haridas Thakur, became the acharya for the chanting of the holy name. Yeah? Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. He was born in a Muslim family, and the Muslim qazi got complaints. This young Muslim man has now become a Vaishnav saint and everyone's adoring him, and it's going to be disruptive. If the king comes to find out, you're in big trouble. Punish him. So the qazi ordered that he be put in jail. So when he was put in jail, there were other local Vaishnava fellows that were in the jail for similar reasons, just for not, you know, cooperating with the qazi, with his program. When they saw Haridas coming into the prison, they thought, wow, a saint has come to visit us in prison. How auspicious. What great fortune. And Haridas said, you're so enthusiastic, I'd like to give you a benediction. Yes, yes, please give us a benediction. My benediction is that you stay like this. And they looked very sad. And you understood why they looked very sad, because you need to understand what I'm saying. While you're here in the prison, there's no sense gratification, there's no acting on your material desires. You're in this, although restricted, you're in this peaceful condition where you can think of Krishna constantly. Very soon, I'm telling you, within 3 days, you'll all be released from jail. And when you're released from jail, then what will you do? Go do sense gratification. And so, may you stay like this. Peaceful and depending upon Krishna and not engaged in material activity, gross sense gratification. Please stay like that. Because the common sense of blessings from a sadhu is that their health is good or their material circumstance improves in some way. Wealth, difficulty they're passing through is gone, and, you know, temporary happiness. Temporary happiness. But real blessing is not temporary happiness. Real blessing is the eternal well-being of the soul. And so, Haridas is offering that to the prisoners. And same, Krishna came to visit the Pandavas, not only to help reinstate Yudhishthira as the king that he wanted, but also to give his loving association. So this is what we covered. And then the slide moved. Okay. So what's the lesson? It is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. Prabhupada's purport. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence. this is built within the prayer of Queen Kunti. This is our Vaishnava Acharyas helping us to understand. The lesson is material existence is very fragile. A strong rope that's frayed, just barely holding together. So, what's that one strand that doesn't change when everything else changes? It's the eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. So that's what Kunti's prayers are pointing to. She's dependent upon that. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time completely depend on the Lord. What does valor mean? Valor? You've heard of the word?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Intense courage. Someone who is on the battlefield and they're fighting with valor. Courage. Intense, strong action. Valor. You've heard the phrase, discretion is the better part of valor. Never heard that one? Any of you heard that one? You've heard it. So supposing there's a difficult situation and it requires courage and strong action, valor. Discretion is the better part of valor. Like, where do you apply that effort, that energy, that activity that you're going to do? Discretion is the better part of valor. So, Prabhupada's commenting that Queen Kunti, the message to us, what we should take from this is, when going through life, whether it's good times or bad times or mixed or moving so fast we're not sure what's going on, the best way of living, well, the highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time depend completely on the Lord. Sometimes Prabhupada would speak this way. Do not become complacent or an idle parasite. That's the work with valor. Work with valor means in serving Krishna we're not lazy. Prabhupada said that, I recall hearing him say. One thing I can say about myself, I was never lazy. Even as a young man, I was very energetic. And my whole life, I've been very active, never lazy. So valor is needed, that the are acting with enthusiasm in Krishna's service, and discretion is the better part. Discretion is, transcendental discretion is, we're always dependent upon the personality of Godhead. There's a wonderful story, just to get undistracted from the technology problem. Maharaj Prataparudra. In Puri, there was a king during Lord Chaitanya's time whose name was Maharaj Prataparudra. When Maharaj Prataparudra was younger, his father came to know of a young princess that could marry his son, the incumbent king. So a brahmana was sent to the South Indian king suggesting that there be a marriage between his daughter, the princess, and Maharaj Prataparudra. And the king thought that would be very nice. And so he was invited to come for Rath Yatra and meet his potential son-in-law and, you know, the, doing all the formalities. So he came. But he was very disturbed. Because before the Jagannath Rath Yatra procession, Jagannath is brought from the place where he is kept after snan, the bathing ceremony, and for 2 weeks he's kept in isolation while they repair his body and so on. And so he, as he was being brought to the cart, Prataparudra, the incumbent king, was with a golden broom sweeping the street. When the king went back to his kingdom, he said, my daughter is not going to marry a street sweeper. Wedding's off. Prataparudra's father was very, very unhappy. Not just calling his son a street sweeper, but not understanding the transcendental nature of honoring Lord Jagannath in a humble mood of service. So he immediately called for his entire army to go and have battle with this king that insulted Lord Jagannath's service. And when he went with valor, there was some discretion missing, the better part of valor. He was soundly defeated by that South Indian king. And he came back and offered prayers to Lord Jagannath, saying, what happened? I was going in your honor, and I was defeated. How is this possible? He was praying and praying, and he consulted some of the ministers, and the ministers asked, before you went to go do battle, did you go take Jagannath's permission and take his blessings in the mood of dependency upon him? Like in this morning Bhagavatam class, we're speaking of the doership mentality. And he said, oh, I forgot. I was in such a state of anger that I forgot my mood of dependence upon the Supreme Lord. So he went to Lord Jagannath. And he offered prayers to Lord Jagannath. I'm doing this just for honoring you, no other reason. Please give your protection. Please give your blessings. Then he gathered the remains of his army, which was diminished, depleted from the previous recent loss, and off he went again. And as he was approaching from some distance, some miles away still, they stopped at a shopping area to get some items for cooking, some clay pots and some vegetables. And when they got, the purchaser, the advance party, made the request, and the man already had everything ready. And when he had everything ready, how did you know you need this, and how much do we owe you? Oh, we've already been paid. So what do you mean you've already been paid? We just got here. He said, well, there were two men riding horses, one who was black and the other was white. And they gave us payment, saying that the army is coming soon. Please take care of them. He said, really? He gave you payment. Can I see? And it was a jewel that the king had given to Lord Jagannath in Jagannath's treasury. The messenger went back and showed the king and showed the jewel and told him the whole story. He said, now I understand. Never again am I going to forget depending fully upon the Supreme Lord. He went and did a successful battle with the king. The king submitted and said, okay, my daughter can marry your son. I was mistaken. Please forgive me. And the king, the Prataparudra's father, told the king what happened. It was the honor of Lord Jagannath that I was fighting to uphold, not anything else. So even when we're doing the right thing in service, we have to be in the right mood. That's the better part of discretion. better part of valor is discretion. Transcendental discretion is this one. Okay, so moving right along.
Pandava Bhavato Darshanam Yari Nishkanam Vishituhu.
Devayam Nama Rupavya Yadugi Saha Pandava Bhavato Darshanam Yari Nishkanam Vishituhu.
Yadubi saha pandava bhavato darshanam yai rishikanam viveshituh.
As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. So, Prabhupada is paraphrasing Kunti's words. Superficially, my dear Krishna, we Pandavas now possess everything, for we rule the entire kingdom, but our kingdom flourishes only due to your continued merciful glances, without which this kingdom has as much value as a body after the soul's departure. Nice painting of Yudhisthira and Draupadi and the four other brothers. When Krishna left the world, the message came back from Arjuna after visiting Dwarka that Krishna had departed. The Pandavas, they also decided. They just wanted to be with Krishna. The kingdom without Krishna was without meaning for them. So the kingdom was turned over to the grandson, Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit became king, and they traveled to the north country to prepare to depart the world. Prabhupada explains that the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. Now, modern science doesn't teach that in science class, biology or eighth grade science. You didn't learn about that one, consciousness. But there's a soul present within each and every body. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. So not only the individual soul, but super soul is within the heart of every living being. We don't have the eyes to see, but he is there. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. Kunti understands this, and we're, through her prayers, we're being given the opportunity to understand what such an exalted devotee understands. That's the value of hearing her prayers. Without your presence, this is Vishwanath, without your presence, who are we? The Pandavas, along with the Yadus, with their fame and strength, we are like the senses without the jiva. Krishna's reply, but Bhima and Arjuna, your sons, are very powerful. The king is Dharma personified, and the Yadavas are your friends. You have no worries. Who are the Pandavas and the Yadus, having fame and ability, without your presence? Similarly, without the presence of the jiva, the senses have no significance or power. That's Vishwanath's commentary. So we're almost done. Two more verses. So when you chant responsibly, you have to pause at the end. Otherwise you mess up. Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful, but when you leave, it will no longer be so. This is a very elevated sentiment, transcendental sentiment, the sentiment of separation. Whatever we have that is of value, it's because of the presence of Krishna within our lives, within the lives of our family and our members and our close associates. And without, what is the value? There's an impression of Krishna's lotus feet, and where's the gada? Gada Graja. Gadadhar, excuse me. He's the carrier of the gada, the club. Where's the club? Must be a club here. Don't see it. Anyway, there's his lotus feet. And those who take shelter of his lotus feet feel sanctified. Actually, it's just a little message from the Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the Padma Purana. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spiritual form of Krishna in literature. Padma Purana says the two lotus feet of Krishna are the first two cantos. Cantos 3 and 4, they are his legs. 5 and 6, they are his waist, and so on. Up to the 12th canto, his lotus face, beautiful eyes. So, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly cantos 1 and 2, we're getting in touch with or taking shelter of the lotus feet. And these prayers of Queen Kunti, they're in Canto 1. We're situated at Krishna's lotus feet just by hearing these transcendental messages. And that makes life into our life, the transcendental life into our life. This, I think, is the last verse. Let's see.
Oh,
All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance, the trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth, and this is all due to your glancing over them. So that's, first it was his feet and now it's his eyes. So his presence, any one of his senses can do anything any of the other senses can do. We learned that from Brahma Samhita. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. This nice teaching. The body of the Supreme Lord is transcendental. In its transcendentalness, due to his transcendental nature, any sense can do anything any other sense can do. So, just by his glancing, by the impressions of his feet on the earth, and just by his touch, the whole of the place where they were inhabiting is now, she's seeing that it's flourishing. It's said in the third canto of the Bhagavatam that during Maharaj Yudhisthira's reign, the opulence on earth rivaled that of the opulence of heaven. Abundant opulence, but due to Krishna's presence. And now he's not leaving earth, but he's leaving Hastinapur, the capital city, and she's rightly so, offering honor to their success, and even now the incumbent danger because enmity of other kings. It's dependent upon Krishna. Please don't go. This is her message. Here's a thought from Srila Prabhupada in the purport. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of godless civilization, and they cause the destruction of the noble aims of human life. The more we go on increasing such troublesome industries to squeeze out the vital energy of the human being, the more there will be unrest and dissatisfaction of the people in general. So here comes Prabhupada's appeal for simple living, high thinking. What we need, therefore, is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve the perfection of human life by devotional service. Kunti Devi desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. And it's not just, you know, living on a farm, it's the principle of engaging ourselves in devotional service to the Supreme in whatever it is that we do. Her message is very powerful. Her mood is filled with devotion. She's feeling fully dependent upon Krishna, and interestingly, he doesn't agree to her proposal to stay. He has another purpose. Okay.
Shambhimam Chimni
Vishatman Vishwamurti Svakeshume Sneha Pashabhimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vishnishu
Atta Vishvesha Vishatman Vishwamurti Svakeshume Sneha Pashabhimam Chindi
O Lord of the Universe, Soul of the Universe, O Personality of the Form of the Universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis, which is a little puzzling, but our Acharyas help us understand what her message is. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Prabhupada's purport. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and Vrishnis. No, she's not cold. She's not praying to become an impersonalist. Jiva Goswami comments in his Priti Sandarbha, Queen Kunti is thinking, if Lord Krishna departs from Hastinapur, that will be inauspicious for the Pandavas. And if he does not depart from Hastinapur and returns to Dwarka and that will be inauspicious for the Vrishnis. Her heart is thus agitated by competing affections for these two sides of her family. Kunti herein prays that the affection she bears for her kinsmen be destroyed. The truth is that when she sees how the two sides of her family dearly love Lord Krishna, her own love for Lord Krishna increases. Therefore, on the pretext of saying, please destroy my affection for my kinsmen, Kunti is really praying, please do not leave the association of either of the two sides of my family. There's another very beautiful explanation we'll see in a moment. It is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstance arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Just today, I got a letter from somebody that I've known for many, many years. And when he was living in Australia and his career took him to, living in India, his career took him to Australia, some city in Australia. And without the prior association he had, his Krishna consciousness went down. Now, I didn't know that, but I wrote to him about a month ago. And I got no reply. I thought maybe he changed his email address. And finally he wrote back saying, I'm ashamed because I stopped my Krishna conscious practices. I don't really have association. But then some of this stuff happened. This problem and that problem. And now I started going to the temple again. And I observed Pandava Nirjal Ekadasi and I chanted my rounds. And I'm reviving my Krishna consciousness because of the difficulty. That's one example out of so many. Now, not everyone's going to respond that way. But the person who responds that way is according to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritanarjuna. Four types of pious people, they come to me and render service. And one of them is they're in distress. So it can be a kindness of Krishna to, we don't like the distress, but we may like the lotus feet of Krishna more. It happened in New York. You know, New Yorkers are known to be brash and arrogant and, you know, get out of my way, here I come kind of people. When 9/11 happened, everyone became really religious. There's some anecdotal detail that's very interesting. I wasn't in New York for a month after that, but I was told by the devotees that were there, at every street corner, going this way and that way with a crosswalk, people would actually stop when it said don't walk. And they had set up little shrines on the corner, you know, and a Buddhist and a Muslim and a Christian and a this one and that one, all gathered together, and they would stop and pray before they crossed. And the people going the other way would stop and pray before they crossed. All over the city. They became really religious. When danger was felt, the bubble of safety was burst. And there was a little, just carry on. There was a park that the southern half, the southern tip of Manhattan was quarantined. You couldn't go there unless you had a certificate that showed you lived there. Businesses were shut down, everything shut down. You couldn't even go there. Cars couldn't go, pedestrians couldn't go, nobody could go. So just above that was Union Square Park. So it became like a Jerusalem or something, you know, a holy place of pilgrimage for many, many people. And in the tip of the park, the southern part, this group and that group and the other group of religious people would come together and sing and pray and chant and do their thing, praying to God. So one of our resident devotees, Chandrasekhar Swami, went with one person with no musical instruments other than the harmonium and very softly would sing Hare Krishna with a sign that said something, you know, peace and goodwill to mankind, and if you know, for personal counseling, please go to 26 Second Avenue between 8, you know, 6 and 8 p.m. or something like that. Just did that for a month. And then it was getting to be the time, so I came back and we went together, maybe 20 devotees, sat down, no loud kirtan, one pair of kartals, one radanga, softly played in harmonium. And sang. And as soon as we sat down, it reminded me of the 60s. You know, like a big crowd of people gathered around. And people in their business suits and ladies that were models. One lady sat down next to the girls. Model. You know, kind of that had that appearance at least. And a man in a business suit sat down with the man and just chanted. People were crying, you know. 9/11 wasn't nice. Now, that didn't last for too long. That place, that southern tip of Manhattan, is where the Harinam Party has been conducting their activities when it's not snowing and not raining for several years. Every day, 365 days, if it's not, the climate doesn't permit, they go in the subway. And just, you know, continue that same activity. It's really fantastic. Wonderful service. Very popular for brahmachari. Brahmacharis only, by the way. No ladies allowed. That's just the young man that's in charge has that view. And it's giving... giving the opportunity for the Yuga Dharma to be encountered by all passers-by. It's very nice. Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. More important to Krishna then upholding his word is protecting his devotee. If the devotee is at risk, when Arjuna was at risk because the vow of Bhima to kill Arjuna before the end of the day, when it came down to it, Krishna picked up the broken chariot wheel of Arjuna's chariot and was charging Grandfather Bhishma, ready to smash him. And Grandfather Bhishma was ecstatic. He dropped his bow. Go hit me. Ecstatic love for Krishna. Very special exchange. So now I think we've hit the end. This is our final verse. O Lord of the Madhus, excuse me, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges flows forever to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Rati, this is a equivalent of the word bhava, or attraction or transcendental feeling. She's wishing that her emotions, her feelings of attraction and attachment go only to Krishna. Paraphrasing her words, may my mind also carry its affection to you, who are the shelter of all the devotees. Just as the Ganga does not consider any obstacle on its course, my mind should also not consider any obstacles that may rise while thinking of you. Very beautiful photograph of the Ganga flowing. Now here's some secrets in this message. To cut off the tie of all other affection does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. That's her message. Here's some further. Relation of the soul. This is Prabhupada's purport. Relation of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to soul can be established by the medium of the relation with the super soul. There's our Chinese friend again. And he has a friend. And they have some similarities. They both have beards. And they're both Chinese. And they have other similarities. They both have a soul within this animating the body. And there's another similarity. They have the same Paramatma within the heart. So the soul-to-soul relation through the via medium of the super soul, that's wanted. And show her to say it again, and we're going to hear it one more time after that. The appeal is the affinity based upon the body only, and it's tearing her apart. She has feelings for her, Prabhupada says, for her father's family and for her own children. Women know that one. If your father's family and your own children. And she has feeling for both. And sometimes Krishna's, like in this case, Krishna's departing means auspiciousness for the Vrishnis and inauspiciousness for the Pandavas. They'll feel very sad. But the Vrishnis are missing his association. So if he doesn't go, they'll be very sad too. So she's torn in between. So please remove the material part of my affection. Prabhupada's explanation is very nice. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. This is the way of devotional service. So we direct our activities to Krishna, to pleasing Krishna. And when their activities, including family, including friends and relations and community and people that are important in your life, direct that affection to Krishna. The objective of the affection is the topic. Here's Vishwanath. It makes it really clear. May my mind hold affection, rati, for you, without any obstacle. Udva means to flow strongly. The mind should not think of anything else. Ananya vishaya. Your devotees are non-different from you, and thus, without affection for them, affection for you cannot take place. It's not possible that this could please you. That this I know. Therefore, let my mind have attraction for no one except you and your devotees. I pray to cut affectionate bonds with the Pandavas and Yadavas who are your devotees. But since it is a prayer in front of you, it means cutting only the material affection which arises from bodily identification. It's not cutting the affectionate relation with you. I want to cut that affection which causes bondage. Now, this is Queen Kunti, and we're just like little people. But we can learn from Queen Kunti. We have affection. And affection on the material side leads to bondage. And, you know, so, but we don't want to cut affection. We want to cut that which causes bondage, or the material affinity portion, and then have transcendental affinity and transcendental affection. Naturally. And that's the solution to that is affection for Krishna and his kind help, that our affection to those who we naturally have affection for, let that affection continue in relation to Krishna. Nice example, this is Gopakumar returning after long journey in the material world, coming again to Goloka Vrindavan, where he sees Krishna and the cowherd boys, and Krishna embraces him very, very strongly and says, please never go away again. I promise I'll never go away again. This is Kunti, the cover of the teachings of Kri Kunti book, a painting, where this is the Ganga, and this is the phrase she's saying, that may my affection for you flow forever towards this, like the Ganga flows forever towards the sea. You don't have to stand by the Ganga and say, okay, Ganga, can you please flow towards the sea? The Ganga just goes. And let my affection be like that, forever towards you. So that's the end of Kunti's prayers. It took several visits to get there, but we got there. Here we go.
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Krishna Shabhavani Rajanya Vamsha Tahananaka Vardavira Govinda Govinda Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Kiva Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Pause.
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Krishna Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Krishna Rishabhavanina Rajanya Vamsha Dahananaka Vardavira Govinda Govinda Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Kiva Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vishnu Rajanya Vamsa Bhargavirya Govinda Govinda Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Kiva Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Okay. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer my respectful obeisances to you. The Almighty Lord has his eternal transcendental abode, where he's engaged in keeping Surabhi cows. Nice B.G. Sharma painting. Krishna's in the painting twice. Here is a young cowherd boy, and here is a small boy. Goloka, planet of the cows. Krishna loves the cows. The cows love Krishna. And everyone, all living entities, they're attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute, not just the cows and the gopis. He is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. He descends on the material world to reclaim the devotees and to annihilate the disturbing elements in groups of political parties and kings who are supposed to be in charge of administrative work. Ooh. He creates, maintains, and annihilates by his unlimited energies. And he still is always full with prowess and does not deteriorate in potency. The cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of a special attention, because they're very important factors for the general welfare of all living beings. Krishna, Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So if someone can turn on the light and let's see if there's some discussion. Light switch? Any comments or questions? Nice to sit at the feet of Queen Kunti and hear from her and our acharyas to help us understand. Yes?
I have one friend of my friend who used to do maybe some devotional activity or some kind of worship for Krishna. And so we are talking about obstacles. Sometimes obstacles help us get closer to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people say, oh, I was doing something and maybe I made some mistake while doing some service to Krishna and I did some offense. So this idea gets in people's mind that, okay, I may commit some mistake, better I don't do it.
But I don't do what?
Some devotional activity or some service.
Okay, okay.
So that idea gets so deeply absorbed in their mind, they don't want to commit to the process. So I may make some mistake and even get fell down. Or so how to remove that kind of wrong conception?
Stick? Well,
because we talk so much sometimes that, okay, not to commit any offense or not to make any mistake, that it becomes
that kind of speaking is immature. The emphasis doesn't go on it, particularly in the beginning, doesn't go on watch out for mistakes. The particularly in the beginning is engage in those activities that are going to be cleansing for the soul. We're unclean. We need to become clean. So we go through the process of becoming clean. And then as you're going through the process of becoming clean, then comes concerns about carefully guarding against the mistake that can be committed. But the process of devotional service itself, it's self-correcting. That is to say, even as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, inadvertently, every endeavor is covered by some type of fault. So now what are you going to do? Don't do anything. Become a stone. Do that which is going to make the soul clean. And yes, be careful. But inadvertently, mistakes are going to be made, Krishna says. So now what to do? Don't do nothing. Do that which is going to make you clean. With faith, it's going to make you clean. And then what about the mistakes? Krishna will help you. And go the other way. Oh, I'm going to, you know, I won't do devotional service. Then that's a mistake. And there's big consequences for that, big one. You just like blot out the means of becoming clean, so you're just going to become dirty. Should you not take a bath? Well, I may become dirty after I take a bath, so I better not take a bath.
It's just like...
It's not reasonable.
Walking for the fear of getting... falling down, basically.
It's a lame excuse.
Right.
I call it rubber crutch. You can't put much weight on a rubber crutch. It doesn't hold. So just speak.
It becomes difficult to remove that lame excuse.
Sure. You just be kind to the person. Give him prasadam and be kind to the person. There's devotional service.
Right.
Here's prasadam. And be explicit. Here's devotional service. Nice. Please take it. Well, I might get dirty after I take prasadam. It's voluntary. Devotional service is voluntary. So the submission unto Krishna, he'll accept, even if you're imperfect. You can recite that, you know, show the verse, Janata Agha Viplava. This process is meant for people of this age that are in the Agha condition, infested with sinful reactions. So that's what it's meant for. It's for you. It's your medicine. Take your medicine. Yeah, but I'm sick. Exactly.
What is the verse you mentioned?
It's in the preface of the Bhagavatam. Janata Agha Viplava Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhadya Vatsvapi. That one. Is it 159 or something like that? It's right in the preface. Tadvag Visargo Janata Agha Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhadya Vatsvapi. You'll find it. Yeah. Go ahead.
So we're talking like throughout the whole verses and stuff about material relationships and or material like affinity towards people or things versus like spiritual affinity.
Yeah. Yes.
How like do you tell the difference between the two?
How do you tell the difference? Well, let's do this. Each one of us, we're trying to be devotees. So there's a mix. There's some of both. Let's just start with that. And then we get to the position of Queen Kunti. She's, you know, way above us. And she's saying she's got a mix. And so the no mix, the mix is where our attraction for the temporary is strong. Where there's no mix, the attraction for the temporary is simply in terms of how this can be of service to Krishna. And in service to Krishna can certainly mean I'm fulfilling a need, which may be of this body, like I have to eat. So I take prasadam. And because it's going to draw my attraction not just to my tongue, but so that the higher stage is not just, you know, the satisfaction of my tongue, but the appreciation that this has been very nice, has been prepared very nicely and offered to Krishna with love. And as that increases, then the affinity for the temporary has diminished when my thought is going more and more to the happiness of Krishna. Then the mix is diminishing. Like Kunti.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you for the question. One of the slides, it says that relationship of the soul to soul that is established by the body of the super soul.
Via medium, right.
So it means unless we are Krishna conscious, we really cannot tell anybody. It's all that
we should have to do. It's the mix. We're Krishna conscious to some degree. We have affinity for Krishna to some degree. So there's a mix.
So how to do that in the permutations when we ourselves are struggling at high level, and then we are people in the children. Then, you know, we try to relate to them, then it all comes material relationship.
Well, you cultivate Krishna consciousness. It's similar to his question.
Yes.
Just like I've attended, I'm a sannyasi by ashram, and I've just attended 3 weddings in 8 days. And in each one of them, you know, the message repeated, one of the messages repeated was, here's a spirit soul who has been entrusted to me by Krishna to serve Krishna together. Now, there's different functions that he and she may perform. But that's on the material side, but the spiritual side is to serve Krishna together. So, the holistic approach of Krishna consciousness is we serve Krishna together. And he does this and she does that. And they serve Krishna together. So, we're spirit. So it's reminding yourself of this is the situation, and then comes children. So Krishna has entrusted us with this spirit soul to holistically care for, and to take that soul. The end is to carry Krishna, that soul, to back to Godhead. That's the duty, the holistic and the focused, both. I was with a family somewhere, I won't say where, that was reminding me of a conversation. The person who was speaking to me is a father who has a daughter that's just completed college and is going on to her career and then grad school. That's that kind of stage. So he reminded me, when my daughter was 2, I shared with you, I have all these feelings and expectations of what I want my daughter to become. She's just 2. And I know it's like, you know, that's not wholesome. What, you know, how should I handle those feelings? It's, you know, not the same, but it's... So he said, what you told me has stayed with me for all these years, you know, 22 years, which was Krishna has... Think this way. Krishna has entrusted this spirit soul to myself and my wife to give care to. I didn't use the word holistic, now I'm using it. You know, the body and the mind and, you know, the whole package. Krishna has entrusted us with this soul to nurture, care for, and let this soul reach full potential. And the full potential of ultimately going back to Godhead and all the other intermediate potentials. That's our opportunity for service that's entrusted to us by Krishna. So step back from the moment of the attachment to just on the material side, and the soul in Krishna is at the center. So it's a cultivation, because the tendency is really easy. You know, ducks do it and fish do it, and, you know, all living entities that are male and female and combine and produce offspring, you know, they have it, they do it. They take care of the necessities of the body. And the crying and the thing and thatting. They do it. So we do it. It's very natural. That's the material affinity side, like his question. And then the transcendental side is the thought goes to serving and pleasing Krishna. That's our devotional life. Doesn't mean we neglect the temporary. We do the temporary in service to the eternal, supreme Krishna. And mindful of the soul's journey through different stages, and at different stages the service looks different. I mean, it's easy to talk about, then it's another thing to do, but it's a cultivation. That's the highest happiness of Krishna conscious family life is the connection with Krishna. The struggle is, I'm leaning over this way. The mind is Krishna way. Lean the other way. Doesn't mean you abandon or detach yourself or become callous or something.
Like Maharaj, before coming to Krishna consciousness, our children was very well. So now when they come home, you want them to come home, take little darshan or then they leave. But they don't do it. So you try to give them love, thinking that will might change their heart,
Parenting is an endless task and an endless topic, and you started with the attachment side, and now comes some of the other details, and it can be an endless set of details. I'm not going to launch into a seminar on Krishna conscious parenting.
When they get into older Maharaj, then it's more struggle. When they're younger, if you come to process,
after a certain age, is there more independence?
And that's natural. You do your best, and then they're going to make their choices. I mean, there's many things to say. Parenting is a big topic. Parenting is a big topic. Big topic. Endless topic. My experience, there's no end. There's principles, and then replying the principles in different circumstances and different affinities and so. You have your needs and they have their needs, and try to understand each other's needs. And then when there's affection, then you care about their needs, not just your needs. And some freedom, some sense of autonomy, especially as they're getting older, it becomes more important. And so how to honor that need. And at the same time, they're honoring your need. Be clear what your need is, not just you need them to pay obeisance. There's a deeper sense of what your need is as a mother. And naturally there's affection. And then there's some need for autonomy. A need. And need has to be honored and reciprocated with. It's part of the joy of parenting, and the challenge that goes with the joy of doing it in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. I got it easy. I'm a sannyasi. Okay. Yes.
One of the things that you see is in Indian congregation, people from Indian background trying to getting introduced to the method of Prabhupada.
Mm.
One of the image that we carry is, you guys are good, but you have very difficult process. You have too many restrictions. You can't eat onion, garlic, coffee, tea. That makes my life very complicated. I would rather practice something simpler. Is that, do you also, if that image is there, do you see that it's a problem in our presentation, if we have built that image?
Well, what do you think? I think you think yes.
I think yes.
Yes. Now, it's even more so with Western people. Even more so. Not just, the language isn't too many restrictions, it's just you won't see them around. So, there's an art of being internally um, clear and compliant with, you know, what I, you know, my particular position on the trajectory of my Krishna consciousness, and I know where I am and I know where I want to go, and I'm making steps to get to where I want to go, and that's who I am. And when I'm with somebody else, particularly a newer somebody else, you know, that's not the message is you should be like I am. Or, you know, here's the goal. Now, no harm in identifying the goal. At the same time, there should be acceptance of people where they are, just like I'm accepting of myself where I am, and other people where they are, and newer people where they are. So, being non-judgmental is an important part of how we display Krishna consciousness to others. We can display Krishna consciousness to others in a way that's genuine according to our position, our personal position, not just as the organization. But without being judgmental of others that are something else. That's what Prabhupada did. You know, he was with people that were, you know, less than human. And he was a transcendentalist. And they weren't intimidated. He wasn't judging them. He wasn't pushing an ism or you know, the do's and the don'ts. But he was being himself. And he was a hero to them for being himself. And anyway... Now, taking the broad society, you can't, or you and I can't, or a little room full of people here can't change the approach of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We can be approach givers the way that we see, and set an example, and rather than criticize. Have you read Bhurijan's My Glorious Master, that book? You're familiar with who Bhurijan is? There's a very important lesson related to what the question you're raising. The punchline is, don't criticize, you do better. That's the message that he got from Prabhupada. I didn't know this part of Bhurijan's life, but we were in college together, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've known him for a long, 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 long time, 40-something years. So there was a period of time when he had pulled back from Krishna consciousness due to very prevalent behaviors of our Sankirtan devotees that he found were just unconscionable. So rather than, you know, being a participant, he and his wife took a giant step back and just quietly did what they wanted to do, what their conscience said they could do. Prabhupada was very affectionate, knew he was going through some difficulty. He invited him, please come and travel with me. So, of course, he wanted to travel with Prabhupada. And so then his Krishna consciousness picked up again. And in the course of that travel, there's, you know, very interesting events, but it finally came this opportunity, just he and Prabhupada in a room together, and he opened his heart and said, this is my trouble. You know that I've been keeping a distance, and here's why. And Prabhupada immediately, his response was, don't criticize. They're trying their best according to what they understand I want, and they're doing something. So if you feel they're not doing it the right way, you do better. but don't criticize. That was his message, and he got the message. It helped him a lot. Prabhupada gave the same type of message to Bhakti Tirtha Swami. You know that story. There is racial discrimination in your organization. And Prabhupada said, first of all, that's not very good. They said, but you're no better than they are. If this disturbed you, you're in the same position as they are. You're in bodily concept. So, be in the transcendental concept and show by example. Now, how powerful is that? I'm a little guy. I'm not a very powerful guy. But, you know, be what you want the world to be. Model it, and you will attract a certain number of persons, even if it's one person, that understand your mood and they appreciate your mood and they regard your mood. And part of your mood should be not faulting, but setting an example. And do that. Then, you know, that's helping to make the Krishna consciousness movement better. Now, should those who are more in the position of or being empowered by Krishna to be leaders do more of that? Sure. You know, but then there's some people that are way over there. I won't mention names. And some people that are way over there. And there's some people in the middle. You know, in the world, there's liberals and conservatives and moderates. And pizzas and pakoras. You know that one. It's the world we live in. It's just going to continue being like that because it's the world we live in. So you have strong feelings over here. They have some strong feelings of people that are on, you know, we should be reaching the Western population and we're not doing it. Look around the room. We're not doing it. How many people in Flint, Michigan are non-resident Indians? A lot of people. There's a lot of people that aren't. Are we reaching them? We're not being effective. So what can we do? What can I do? Or can any one of us do to be more effective in that department? So, you know, then there's some people that are way over there and there's some people that are way over there. And some people in the middle. Is the approach the right approach? Are we considering the intention of our founder Acharya properly? Anyway, those are good questions. The question is a good question. Then, you know, you have a feeling based upon your sense of what is going to be effective. And, you know, part of it's autobiographical, but part of it is also just observing other people. We give too many regulations and they're going to go somewhere else. But some other people see the regulations are, that's part of its genuineness. And so those people are attracted. Some people are not attracted. Therefore, unity and diversity. That's my response. What we want is to please Krishna. It's not this pleases Krishna and that displeases Krishna. Anyway, we have to be true to ourselves, true to our convictions and our understanding of what's pleasing to Krishna and do that. Do it better. Find the ways and the means. Pray to Krishna for the empowerment to do it better. Bhurijan decided to do through training and education, and it's effective. Very effective.
My father, who has resisted to read Prabhupada books for various reasons, for many reasons, until now, for so many years, is reading Gurujan Prabhu's book and appreciating.
Mm-hmm. 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 Have him read My Glorious Master. That's one of his books. This person who I just mentioned, I got a letter from today, just today, lives in Perth. He used to be in India. His job went to Australia. He lives in Perth. He goes to the temple, especially looks forward to hearing Bhurijan's classes. Because Bhurijan lives in Perth. Anything else? Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. It's already 9:35. I have some Mahaprasadam. I'm going to distribute some Kishori Mahaprasadam, I think. And those of you that can you sit down just a sec? I have in my little backpack here some flash drives of some visits to Ayodhya and Dwarka, and there's audio and video of both. It's not just Dwarka, but places around Porbandar and all the places connected with Krishna's pastimes for 120 years. And Ayodhya, Chitrakoot, and some places nearby with photos of the places and videos of going in and seeing the deities and things like that. So if you're interested, there's a donation involved just to help cover the cost of the thing, etc., and something to help with my preaching, my service. So if you're interested, come afterwards and we'll work something out. If you don't have any donation, we'll work something out anyways. Thank you. Prabhupada Ki Jai.